and I am just so thrilled to be part of it. You know, some years ago, I kind of thought, well, you know, I was at one point in time in my life, I was considered to be too young for this, and then I was too old, and now I feel I'm just right. So there's encouragement for all of us. I mean that. I'm being slightly humorous with it. It's a great way to start a speech, isn't it? But no, I really kind of felt that. But you know, God has got a plan and a purpose for every one of us. Amen. And I mean, at my age, I have to believe I'm not too old. What are you laughing at? That's true, though. Absolutely true. I'm going to ask you all to stand. I know you all sat down. Would you just stand a minute, please? Thank you. I just want to commit this time to Jesus. We're just going to invite Holy Spirit just to come with power and fire and to release the authority of heaven, not just over me as I speak, but over every one of us. Every one of us. So just receive, be in a place, however you want to position yourself to receive from him, whether you stand or sit or hands up, hands down, I don't care. Just be ready to receive from Jesus right now, because I believe there's going to be an outpouring of Holy Spirit tonight. Yeah. I really truly believe that those who have ears to hear, I shared this morning in our service, those who have ears to hear what the Spirit wants to bring. Hear what the Spirit wants to do with you, through you, to advance the kingdom and to fulfill the prayer of Jesus. Turn to your right and look at the wall. You see it there. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what revival is all about. There's a statement of revival on the wall in this building. We give God the glory for that. That's the vision in this church. That's the vision I carry, and that's the vision I believe Holy Spirit is wanting to impart to every one of us here tonight, and including those who can't make it tonight. So Holy Spirit, we just want to thank you, and we bless you for who you are. We thank you that you always honor Christ. You always honor Jesus, and we invite you to turn up tonight. We wish you have already turned up. We want to thank you for the work that you're doing. And my heart and my prayer for the people who are here tonight is that we will all hear, myself too, hear what you're wanting to say and do. That, Father, you will fill us afresh with your life and your love. The power of your Spirit will come and just trickle through us. Trickle and touch every cell in our bodies. Every fiber, every molecule in our bodies will just celebrate Jesus tonight. And you'll take us into the fullness of all that you've got for every one of us. Because you've got an amazing plan and a purpose for every man and woman and child who calls upon the name of Jesus on this planet. But Father, I want to thank you for the opportunities tonight of just sharing something, just some little snippets of what you are doing and what you have been doing. And I count it great privilege, Jesus, thank you, that I've got the privilege of being able to share something tonight with my congregation, the congregation that I'm part of. Father, I want to thank you. So be blessed right now in Jesus' mighty name. Receive from him. I just release a fresh anointing of Holy Spirit over every one of you. Be prepared to receive right now. And so it shall be according to your faith, I hear God saying. And so it shall be according to your faith. If you've got faith to receive, you will receive, and you'll receive in power and fire right now tonight. Yes, you can raise your voices. You can be vociferous. You can speak. You can shout out. You can laugh. You can clap. You can do whatever you want to do. This is church. This is not religion. This is Jesus. But we give God the glory for that. Come on. Let's look forward to an exciting time tonight, shall we? I believe God's got some good stuff. Glory to God. Come on. Give him the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. Well, I've got a whole load of testimonies to share with you. I'm not going to be able to get through all of them unless you're here till breakfast. I could be. What about you? Right, I want to share with you a word God gave me a while ago. I shared this with another congregation, and it's a very good word. I wouldn't be sharing if I didn't think it was. Thank you. It's from 2 Kings 2. And 2 Kings chapter 2. And you'll probably know the story anyway. It's the story of Elijah and Elisha, and how Elijah was preparing to be caught up and be taken up to the Lord in the chariot of fire. I want to read the scripture to you. There's something very prophetic in this, something very powerful, which I really believe Holy Spirit wants to release tonight to every one of you here. I shared it elsewhere, and it's perfectly valid to share it again because it's a fresh congregation, and I believe Holy Spirit wants to bring this word to us tonight, plus other stuff as well. So here we go. Just listen. Don't look it up. I just invite you just to listen and to allow the Spirit of God to let it soak into your being. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. That Elisha went with Elijah from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." That's not the Bethel I'm part of, by the way. Just in case you thought that, no. Okay. But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha, and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me onto Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho together. Now the sons of the prophets who were in Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." I will not leave you. I'm repeating that. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, and it divided this way and that. So the two of them crossed over on dry ground. An incredible miracle there, guys. In dry ground, not even damp. Dry ground. That's incredible. And so it was. When they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what may I do for you before I am taken away from you. Elisha said, "Please let the double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless," and this is important too, "if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen." Oh, he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen back from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water. "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when it also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elijah crossed over. What's very significant about this scripture is that Elisha was intentional. He was totally intentional. He wasn't going to let Elijah go. "I'm with you. I'm sticking with you." So Elijah turned to him and said, "Well, what can I do for you?" He said, "Well, I want your mantle. I want a double portion." That's a hard thing to do. But Elijah was hearing from God, and he said, "It will be for you. It will be to you. If you are standing in line with the chariot, if you're there to see me caught up in the chariot of fire." And he was standing there, yes, beneath the chariot of fire, as his master was caught up and taken up into the heavens. So why am I sharing this with you? Because I believe there's something very powerful and prophetic for every one of us here tonight. That if we set our hearts before God, we press into him, we will not give up, we will not give up. We will push in, and obey his word. And his word to us tonight is to set our hearts in line with him. To get in line, not with the chariot, but with the cross. To get in line with the heart of the will of God for your life, whatever that might be. And of the people who are here now, maybe about 30 of us or so, God has got a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And he wants you. What he's got for you is not for what he's got for somebody else and vice versa. So don't look over your shoulder and think, "I wish I was like him." Look to God and say, "Jesus, thank you." We were just hearing this morning about giving thanks. Samba brought a brilliant word on thanking God. Let's just thank God for what he's doing for each of us. But the key I want to bring to you tonight out of this scripture here, if you want a double portion, if you want the mantle, if you want the mantle of authority to advance the kingdom and devastate the enemy and fulfill the prayer and the heart of Jesus that we see on our wall in this building, well, I'm saying to you, get your hearts in line with the Word of God and be prepared to forsake everything for Him. I have been doing that. I've been doing that since Rosemary died. You all know that. And I'm walking in a phenomenal calling and authority in God, and I just find it amazing. I really do. When I look at me, I think, Lord, wow, you've entrusted all this with me? You know, people who know me, like Fiona. No, I'm teasing. I'm only teasing. It's all right. Fiona's great. But, you know, I think, wow, Lord, you know, He just uses ordinary guys like me and you. Ordinary people. I'm no more special than anybody else in the kingdom. I've just said yes to God. And I've set my heart in line with the chariot. I've said to God, yes, I will walk with you. No matter what the cost, I will do it. I will do it. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage every one of you. I'm not going to do an appeal because it's going to be in your hearts. I'm not going to get you all to stand because I know everybody will, even if you wanted to or not, because you can't be the only one that's left sitting. Because the pastor's watching. No, I'm only kidding. He's busy looking at me. I'm being humorous, but it's something for you to do before God, even now if you want to, right now, or tonight, or whenever, is to set your heart in line with the chariot, in line with the cross, and say, Jesus, I will serve you. And I'm telling you, because it's the promise of the Father, it's the promise of heaven, that God will pour out into you your heart's desire. He will give you your heart's desire. He will take you. He will take you into what He's got for you. And I'm excited about that. I love sharing this scripture. I didn't think I'd shared it here. I checked with Gordon before we started speaking. I didn't think I'd shared it, but it was something powerful on it that God gave me this morning. So I want to bless you and thank God for you. But all you need to do is get your heart in line with the cross and obey what God says to you. You don't have to perform. You don't have to stand on your head. You don't have to please anybody. You don't have to say the right thing, do the right thing, be the right thing. You just have to be you. And God takes you just as you are. If He can do incredible things with me, there's hope for the rest of the world, I'll tell you. Two or three of you laughed. I'll speak to you afterwards about that. But I'll praise God. Just give Him thanks and glory for that word. Because I know there's something powerful in the Spirit on that for every one of you. Bless you. Hallelujah. I've got some testimonies to share. And nothing quite like live testimonies. I don't think I'm going to get through absolutely everything, not by any means. But we have a lovely young lady who happens to be related to me through marriage. Fiona! Would you like to come forward, Fiona? Are we switched on? There you go. No, it's not switched on. No, I don't know. How do you? Oh, there we go. There we go.
I'm live. Hello. Mm-hmm. So, most of you know, 3 years ago I broke my ankle. And I've got lots of pins and things holding it all together. But one of the side effects of having a broken ankle is a weakness. Some of you may know a thing called plantar fasciitis. And I've been bothered with that kind of since. And it this week came out of the blue. It was really, really sore. On work on Thursday, I was just limping everywhere and quite miserable, really, because the pain was, it was sore whether I was sitting or walking. It didn't really matter. It was just there. It was really, really sore. My ankle was very swollen. And you can see tonight I've got some trainers on because that's really the only thing I can do to lift the foot because of the weakness. So Thursday night I met with Fiona. I was limping back to the car, and then Friday morning I was getting really fed up because it was still really sore. Nothing was really taking it away. And Malcolm was coming to pick up Anna to take her out for some breakfast, and I said, "Would you just pray for me? I'm just getting really fed up of this pain." So I'd just taken some ibuprofen, and then he prayed and. I said, "Oh, thanks very much," and off he went, not thinking anything of it. It was really only when I got to lunchtime that I realised I'm not limping. And I was walking around the shops trying to get new trainers to fit this foot. And I was like, hang on, I'm not sore. And so obviously let the ibuprofen get out my system and still not sore. Still not sore, still not sore. And so only when I got to Friday night, I was like, I think God healed me. And it's totally, it's been, it genuinely feels as good as it's ever felt. Do you know what I mean? I've still got the scars and there's a little bit of swelling, but nothing much, but it has never felt better, is all I can say.
Thank you. Thanks, Pete. Thank you. That's great. Thank you. Thanks, Fee. That is great. That's so good. Well, I've got a number of testimonies to share with you. We've got some video testimonies, which I haven't shown here before. And I want to thank Alan. He's working on this with me. Bless you, man. Thank you so much indeed. We're going to be looking at some video testimonies. Can we have number... it's number four in a minute, in just a moment. I'm not sure whether I've shared this testimony with you, but you're going to see it on video anyway. And it's a very powerful healing of a guy who had lost the power of his right arm. Number four, please. Thank you.
My name is Ashton Miller. About 2 years ago, I had an attack on my arm. I was, playing soccer, getting recruited by a lot of colleges. And so I was training really, really hard. And one day I just couldn't lift weights that well anymore. I started losing the grip in my left hand. I couldn't even pick up the bar without dropping it. We went to the doctor, neurologist, everywhere to get tests done, dropped tons of money, tons of MRIs. Said, well, you've got a rare polio virus that's in your spine. That's what's caused you to lose your function in your arm. So I'm gonna have to diagnose you as a monoplegic, and there's nothing that we can do. It's incurable. You're gonna have to deal with this the rest of your life. All my hopes were shot down immediately. Malcolm prays for me and said, that's nothing to God. God can heal anything. And so he grabbed my hand, he held my hands, and he just said, God, release your healing love over your son. And I felt a tingling shoot up my arm. And immediately I was just like, in the middle of the prayer, I said, oh my God. And because I never knew that God did something in a prayer like that. I was like, wow, he came. He came and touched me, and it was so incredible. It felt amazing. It felt incredible. It was mind-blowing, and it's, words can't describe what happened. It's God. I mean, it. When you ask God to do something like that and he does it, it totally touches you and changes you. They say the people who believe, signs and wonders will follow. So I just started... I believe that God heals people because I encountered it myself. And so I wanted people to be healed the way I was. So I just prayed for people to be healed. And I didn't see it at first, but then it just started coming and coming and coming. And I see it on a daily basis now. I just want everybody to encounter him the way that I did, because there's no way that you can deny Jesus and deny anything that God does whenever you get to encounter him like this. You can't deny the gospel when God shows up and backs up his word every time.
Thank you. What Ashton didn't tell you was that he came to this meeting that I was running, and he had come along with a very grumpy attitude. He had been playing footloose with God, brought up in a Christian home, but really was really not on fire for God at all. In fact, he didn't even believe he was a believer. But he gave his life to Jesus after that. Isn't that amazing? Yes. He is now a healing revivalist. Amen. He goes round and he prays with people, and he's part of my ministry team in the US. I've taken him on. I'm a father to him. I mentor him. He's a great guy. He's 21 years of age. I love him to bits. I love him as a son, and he loves and values me as a father. And he travels with me as often as much as he can. Wherever I go and speak in churches and conferences and so forth, he comes with me as part of my ministry team. And I'm excited. Let's give God the glory for that. Come on. This is what God will do with you when you get your heart in line with the cross of Christ and say yes to him. That's all it takes. That's all it is. There's no magic formula. It's just saying yes to God. Right. Can we have slide number 6 up, please? Now, there's a warning there, because don't put the next slide up just yet. Just hold it, please. I want to tell a little story of a lady called Laura. She has she's fighting, working against lupus. And of course, as you may know, lupus affects your immune system. And it does all sorts of damage. It damages all the body organs. It's a dreadful condition. And she's being partially healed from that, again, through just releasing God's healing love over her, which is amazing. But she had an accident, and she damaged her right ankle. And because of the lupus, she ended up breaking something like 16 bones, I think it was, in her ankle. I didn't even know there were that many there, but you know, there's loads of them. I mean, it's because of the weakness. That wouldn't normally happen. But the weakness of her tissues, these bones just sort of kind of fractured. And she had to go into hospital and have surgery, have operations on them. And the result was that the wounds became infected, and they had to cut away more flesh. Now, the next image is quite gory. If you don't want to see it, you may close your eyes. It's not all that bad, but you might not like it. I'm being respectful to you, okay? The vast majority of people just love it, okay? Because it's a powerful testimony of what God was doing. So if you don't want to see it, just close your eyes for a moment, okay? Okay, let's have it up. Next one. There we go. Keep your eyes shut. you can see the massive wound. You can see the muscle blocks under the skin there. I mean, it was quite grotesque. And that she was like that for 3 whole months. And she had bandages on it. She had wound coverings and a kind of medical boot which supported her ankle. And the doctors were saying to her that they were going to have to amputate. They were going to have to amputate. And I said to her, in no way will your leg be amputated. They're going to amputate from the knee down. I said, I declare in the name of Jesus that your leg will not be amputated. Because I heard in heaven that she was going to be healed. And I put my hand on her ankle. The pain left immediately. A few days later, she goes to her doctors. Next slide, please. A few days later. 3 months, and the wound was wide open, infected. A few days later, very, very largely healed. I heard from her, I'm trying to get another image from her, another photograph from her, so that the wound is closed up even more, and the healing is well on its way to being 100%. Why and how does this happen? Because Christ paid the price at Calvary. He paid the price. He paid the price. I'll be looking at this a little later on this evening. But the price he paid and what that looked like. But all I do is just release. Well, I believe. I believe solidly. I travel thousands of miles a year because I believe the word of God. And I stand up in front of congregations like I do with yourselves now. And I declare the word of God because I believe it with passion. You know that. You can see that. You experience that from me. And I've seen incredible things happening. When I release God's healing love over somebody, I expect change. They come back to me and they say, oh, you'll never guess. Well, no, I don't need to guess. I know it'll happen. I expect it to. That's not being flippant. That's not being presumptuous. It's because I have faith to believe the word of God. But I believe what his word says. And his word says that Jesus heals. And I believe that. And I practice that. And it's by his grace. It's not some innate quality of me. It's an innate quality of Jesus in me. And that's the important difference. And he wants that for every one of you in this room now. Every single one of you. Isn't that amazing? Give God the glory for that. Come, it's fantastic. Now, thank you. Okay, well, it doesn't stop there. I have some video evidence now of this lady getting out of her wheelchair. Next slide, please, Alan. Thank you. There we go. There's Laura. Now, she's still got her boot on because we're not doctors and I wouldn't interfere with the medical situation. And she is limping a bit because it's a great big heavy chunk of something on her ankle. But there she goes. She had not been able to get out of her wheelchair other than for absolute essentials. And what's more, there was no pain. No pain. As Fiona testified for her ankle, pain had gone.
Good. Look at you.
Bless you.
How are you feeling?
Okay. Thanks, Alan. Right now, the next video clip is number 10, please. And there we see her walking from her car after the ministry. Notice, where's the wheelchair? Can anybody see it? Is it hiding in the picture somewhere? No.
Laura, that's good.
She did not need her wheelchair. That is amazing. We give God the glory for that.
Watch me fall down looking backwards.
Yeah, there is a step back there.
Yeah, you don't fall.
That lump on her foot. I don't have the authority to take that off, and I wouldn't do that.
One more woot. Give a thumbs up.
Did he give the...
You never do things like that in America, by the way. You might get away with it here. In America, it's the... California, particularly, is the world's largest center for suing. I can tell you. Oh, no, believe me, I'm not joking. It's awful. You just don't do anything there at all. I wouldn't even think of touching it. Absolutely not. But it came off, and she doesn't have it on now at all, which is fantastic. Thank you very much. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Come on, can we just give God thanks for that? I want to share with you another video in a moment, number 11 in a minute, just yet, please. And this little lady is called Phoenicia. And Phoenicia, I'll give you just a little bit of the story briefly. This was a conference I was running at the Pray Now Center in Little Rock. And I had organized, I'd done this bit of teaching, I'd done impartation. And then in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon, I divided everybody up into teams and they went out onto the streets. They went out there. Because that's where church should be, okay? Not here, it should be out there. And they went out on the streets with words of knowledge. God had downloaded words of knowledge to the teams. And the various people, they met loads of people. And they just felt God was showing them this, showing a name of here, a color of something, a situation, maybe a piece of architecture, whatever it might be. And they jotted it all down. And this particular team, they had an incredible experience. They came across this lady who had been spoken of in the words of knowledge. And I've got all the evidence here, and I'm going to show it to you in just a moment. And this lady's baby had died. Let the video tell you the story.
Hey, Phoenicia.
Yes.
So, anyways, what just happened to you?
Well, I found out I had lost my baby, but now I'm feeling all kind of movements, and I think it's going to pull through. But the doctors have me scared, but I put it in the Lord's hands, and I'm starting to feel a lot of movement now, so I think my baby's going to make it.
And what just happened? We just released that resurrection.
Yes.
Power of Christ, of Jesus.
Yes, you did. And I'm starting to feel movement.
You feel movement?
Yes.
And what else do you feel?
I feel like I'm happy. I hope it goes through and everything be just fine.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Phoenicia. We love you.
Are you still hot?
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
And the heat.
And the heat.
Thank you. That lady had been diagnosed a few days earlier that her baby had died inside her, and she was going to have to go to hospital the following week to have an operation to have the baby surgically removed. What did God do? Life in the name of Jesus. Because we believe the word of God. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in resurrections. And to God be the glory. It's been prophesied over me that God will bring resurrections through me. I don't know how it's going to happen. I just look to Him. It's His work, not mine. And I say glory to God. That is amazing. That is amazing. We tried to track that lady down. Everyone was so excited. They forgot to get her name and phone. Well, we know her name, Phoenicia. They forgot to get her phone number just to keep in touch with her, say, hey, how you doing, you know? It would have been lovely to do that. And the team leader there, he searched the area. He knew the area. And the lady was sort of quite characteristic, but they couldn't find her, which was a shame. So we would love to have sort of tracked her down and say, hey, how you doing, you know? But, I mean, all the team felt the baby jumping around inside. I mean, it was absolutely, you know, I'm satisfied that it's a genuine report. And I would say to you quite categorically, I will never, 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 ever exaggerate or you know, I tell the pure truth. Of course I do. So it's a question of integrity and honor. But let's have a look at the next slide, please. Thank you. Oh, there they are. Yeah, that's them just praying with her. And the next one. Okay. Now there we have the words of knowledge were given and written down on the piece of paper, bright orange. Okay. And then there was a crescent moon decoration, and that decoration was found on the pavement. Can we have the next slide? And there's the crescent moon. The lady was standing by the crescent moon. Amazing, isn't it? Can you take this in? That God had already ordained that team of mine would go and find this lady. And he directed the team to this lady through words of knowledge. You'll find somebody that's got an orange top. There's a deceased baby. There's a crescent moon. Next slide, please. There we are, baby deceased, written down there. The next slide. And it was on a bench, they call it a bus bench, but it's just a little sort of wooden seat. And she was beside a wooden seat. We didn't see that in the video clips there. There's other words of knowledge there, by the way. Don't think, oh, well, what's all that? That's for other people. That's for other situations. Because God just speaks to several and many. So don't think, oh, what's all the rest there for? It's because God speaks to in other situations. And they went off and they met other people too, by the way. Right, are we there? I think we're... Yes, we've finished on that one. Thank you very much. Thanks. If we could move on to the next PowerPoint package, that would be great. Thank you. Isn't that absolutely amazing? That's just a small sample of what God does. And I give God the glory. I am absolutely, I'll be honest with you guys, I am knocked out with what God does through little old me. At my age, I can say little old me. a bit older. It's so good, though. It's amazing. I'm excited about what God is doing. I want to share with you another testimony. It's not on the slide, but it's of a guy called John, who I met in Little Rock, and he has. I'm going to try and get my mouth around the name of this. It's Waldenstrom's macroglobulinemia. Now you can be forgiven for not knowing what that is, but it's actually a form of cancer. It's a cancer. It's a lymphoma cancer, and he was at stage four. He was at the, you know, really the final stages of cancer. I met him at an evening meal. In fact, he's actually Ashton's uncle. And I was invited to a family evening, which was rather a privilege, and I was asked if I would just pray with John. Well, the latest reports I get from John is this. That the doctors have declared and decided he doesn't need any more chemotherapy. All the blood markers, you know how it all works in hospitals, you know, there's markers in the blood which indicate levels of this and that and the next thing. They're actually falling. And every time he goes to the hospital, they've fallen a bit more, fallen more. This guy is being healed. Was he healed instantly? No. Is he being healed? Yes. Because God moves in many different and several ways. He is Lord, he is sovereign. We all love the instantaneous healing, don't we? Isn't it great? See, boom, bang, there you are in front of you. And I've seen that happen. I saw a young lady, a 16-year-old girl, who had a swollen ankle, and her foot was purple, a kind of a purpley color. And I just released God's healing love over her. I didn't even lay hands on her foot. I just held her hands. That's how often I will pray with people. Not always, but often just hold their hands. And I just released God's healing love and thought no more of it. She comes back to me later on that evening. She says, look, Malcolm, my foot's fine. The pain is gone, the swelling is gone, and her foot was pink. Amazing?
Yes.
Because Christ paid the price. Mm-hmm. I expect it. If it doesn't happen, I say, okay, God. I say, God, I need to press in further to you. I need to press in further, because you see, God is not a random God who will heal you, but not you. Oh, it's not your day today, sorry, no. See what you did yesterday? No, forget it, you're not going to get healing. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Because Jesus so loves all, he paid the price for every one of us. And church has made a religion out of what Christ did at Calvary. And I know the Holy Spirit's reversing that. And I'm in partnership with him to do that too. And he wants everyone here in partnership to do that as well, to release his life and his love. There are no conditions. I don't believe there are any barriers to healing. I declare that. I don't believe there's any barriers to healing. There's nothing stopping me releasing the healing love of Yeshua over everybody. Does everybody I pray with get healed? No. How do I feel about that? Not good. What do I need to do? Press in further to Jesus. I push in further to him. Do I raise my fist to God and say, well, you haven't done it this time? No, I don't. I don't. No. If I take a whipping for somebody not being healed, I'll take the glory when they are. And I don't do either. I say, God, I'm a willing servant. Am I perfect? No, far from it. But he still chooses to use me. I'm being transformed. I'm being transformed by him daily. I'm hearing more and more of him and receiving more of him, and I'm walking closely with him. Do you know that these days there are more and more people who are touched and touched more deeply than ever before in my life? And I could say that every day, every week, every month. More and more people. When I operate in the healing rooms at Bethel, I go to conferences and speak and release God's healing love over congregations. More people have their lives transformed. And I believe the answer, it's not a secret. I'm going to say the secret is not a secret at all. I believe the answer is just pressing in and believing the word of God. Just pressing in. I push in. Do I have all the answers? No. If you think I've got the answers, all the answers, forget it. I certainly don't. I might have some ideas, but you know, believe me, I'm on a journey the same as you guys. I've just chosen to press in powerfully. It's exciting. Glory to God. Wow. Okay. Can we have, are we on encounter the healer package? Can we have number four, please? Slide four. Oh, yes, you did. Yeah, that's right. John 11:43. Yeah. Yes, it's okay. It's fine. I was looking at the wrong sheet. So it wasn't you, Gordon, it was me. So we say to ourselves, well, the question I've been asked is, well, how much faith does it take? How much faith? Well, I have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, which isn't much. And I can get away with that. Do you know why? Because God said. Jesus said, all we need is faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. That's not exactly a lot, is it? So was I born with that faith? No. Do I have any faith of me? No. Where does it come from? Him. See, he provides the faith for us to operate in the power and the authority. It's like a child. It's like a child. Children aren't born with any material things whatsoever. None of us are. But parents will give their children good things. And that good thing then becomes that child's. And the story I tell very briefly is this. When I was a little boy, my mum, bless her, she would take me out about the second week of December to buy Christmas presents for everybody in the family. I even bought one for my sister if I was feeling good. Some of you laughed, some of you appreciated that. That's okay, it's only a joke. And my mother would come with me. We would choose the presents, choose the little bits and pieces, and she would pay for them. And then they'd be given to me, and I'd put them in my little bag, and we'd go home, and she'd help me wrap them. And everyone had a name on it. And on Christmas morning, I would give my mother her Christmas present. And it sort of dawned on me many years later, as it's dawned on you right now. She didn't just know what she was going to get. She chose it and she paid for it.
And she wrapped it.
But you know, that's exactly what God does with us in faith. We're not born with any faith. We have absolutely squiddly pip, nothing. We can give him nothing except he's already given it to us. It's not my faith. It's his faith in me. And that's as it is for every one of us. You know, the woman who had the issue of blood, we know that story, and she pressed through the crowd. Now, she did some incredibly naughty things. She broke the rules of the day. First of all, a woman who had an issue of blood should not have been out in public anyway. This was the laws of the day. And as for pushing through the crowd and touching the hem of the Savior, we didn't actually touch his hem. She touched what's called the tallit, which was like a sort of a shawl he was wearing. I won't go into details of all of that, but she touched the tallit, one of the tassels of the tallit, or the tallit or tallit, anyway, it doesn't matter. And she was healed, and Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. So people say to me, well, look, you see, there it says, it was her faith. Yes, okay, but let's just look a little deeper at that. Where does that faith come from? It was given to her by God, because she called out. She called out to God, because she was pressing in. So you see, here we have the story of Lazarus. Here we are. And he cried out a loud voice. He said, come forth. And what did Lazarus do? He was dead, and he mustered up lots of faith. No, he didn't. He was dead. How much faith did Lazarus have? Not a lot. No. No. And if you can't get your head around that one, guys, think about Jairus' daughter. How much faith did she have before she was raised from there? A 13-year-old girl, I think 13, 12, 13. How much faith did she have? Squiddly pip, okay? You see, it's not about our faith. People come to me in the healing and say, Malcolm, I have faith for this. I said, well, I don't need to know that. Because first of all, it's not about your faith. I said, because I have faith. I have faith for you. Because I believe the word of God. I'm not saying you do or don't believe. It's got nothing to do with that. Because you are receiving. You are receiving from God. I said, I have faith to believe that what I release over you is the word of God to you. And I've seen people healed and changed and transformed mentally, emotionally, physically. Lives transformed, marriages healed, finances turned around. I've seen incredible things going on. Tons and tons of stories. It's not just physical healing. It's any kind of interaction that heaven wants to bring into our lives. I've seen marriages healed. I've worked with people who have had marriage issues. I just released God's healing love and power, the power and the transforming spirit of God to touch them. Because they've said, yes, I want change. I want my marriage to work. I want my situation, my relationships to be in order. And they've said, yes, and I will pay the price to make that happen. I've seen marriage, I'm thinking of two couples in particular who I've spent time with and loved them into life and success. That's healing too, by the way. That's healing. Don't just think of healing as being, you know, Laura's foot being healed. That's brilliant too. But healing is anything that puts right that which isn't right in our lives, in our bodies, in our soul, in our spirit, everything. I love it. Yeah. Exciting. Glory to God. I've lost where I am now. It doesn't matter. Happens all the time. Okay, can we have slide 6, please? Right, slide 6. Now, here we go. You'll be pleased to know we're not going to read all of those. Yes, we would be here till breakfast. But here's just a small sample of scriptures that speak about healing. And don't think it's just something that happens in the New Testament, because there's loads of them in the Old Testament too. In fact, I've got almost as many from the Old Testament as I am from the New. I'm just going to read just literally one or two. We're not going to go, you know, into all of it, but I just want you to know that the Bible, the scriptures are full. And if you wanted a copy of this, I can get a copy. I've got it here written down. You could maybe get a photocopy of it if you wanted it. Exodus 23, verse 25. You will take away sickness from you. And here's a word for ladies. I will not miscarry or be barren. You will fulfill the number of my days. I've seen, you know this too, I've shared this testimony with you before. I've seen many women who have had issues with their menstrual cycles. Their reproductive systems have been healed and babies have been born. You've seen the testimonies. I haven't shown that tonight. You've seen it before. And it's happening all the time. It's happening frequently. God just gives words of knowledge. I went up to a lady just the other day. When I was in Bucharest, and spoke to this lady, and Budapest. Sorry, the two capitals, similar name. Budapest, Hungary. I get into trouble for that. And I just looked and I said, "Do you have an issue with hormones?" And very delicate the way I put it, you know. And she looked at me. She said, "Uh huh," you know, yes. So I said, okay, I think God wants to put it right for you. I said, how do you know? I said, because I know his heart. I said, he just wants to heal. He paid the price for you. Shall we just do it right now? Wang, bang, slap. Here she goes, healed in the name of Jesus. I'm expecting there to be healing for her. It's the kind of thing you don't always know instantly. If somebody grows another arm, you know they've been healed, you know, or another head, you know, but that's okay. But, you know, things like that, it takes time to recognize the healing. But I expect it to happen. I truly do, truly do. Let's take a look. And Jeremiah 33, verse 6, behold, I bring health and healing. I will heal my people. Yeah. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. But you were wounded for my transgressions. The punishment that brought me peace was upon you, and by your stripes, your wounds, I myself am healed. We all know that scripture, don't we? Oh, well. Luke 4, verses 18 to 21. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to claim deliverance to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set liberty those who have been oppressed and crushed. And so it goes on. There's countless many. And that's just a sample, by the way. The scriptures are absolutely full. I couldn't tell you how many scriptures there are that relate to the healing and restoration, because it's God's heart. It's God's heart. And I want to share that with you. And I want to impart to you the fullness of what that means. It's not just a story. It's life. He wants you to grab it. Grab it for yourself. And then release it to others. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. Does Jesus heal today? Well, the answer is just, I'm just going to say yes. There's tons of teaching I could bring on that, but I'm just going to say yes. The scriptures are there. It's all very clear. I want to, is Jesus willing to heal? Can we turn to slide 10, please? Matthew 8, verses 2 and 3. Thank you. Jesus said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The leper turned to Jesus and said, are you willing? And Jesus said, yes, I am willing. Do you think Holy Spirit changed his mind 70 years later? He said, no, it's all finished now. Sorry, door shut, no more healing. No, that's not the word of God. My heart breaks when I think about Christians and believers as precious. I love them, I bless them. My comment, what I'm going to say, is not a criticism. It comes from a heart of sadness that they reject so much of the power and the life and the love of Jesus. I think it's amazing what God has done. Wow. I want to share with you the next slide, please. Yes, is slide 12. Slide 12, please. Slide 12. Isaiah 52, verse 14, his visage, his face was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. In other words, he was beaten something stupid. And I want to just spend a few minutes on this, and then we'll go into some healing and some healing prayer for everybody. Well, Jesus sweat blood. Just leave that up there, please. Just leave that there, please. Thanks. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the scriptures tell us that he sweated blood. And the sweating of blood is a very real medical condition that can happen in very, very exceptional circumstances. And it basically happens when the body's blood pressure kind of goes through the roof, when the boiler is about to explode, you might say. Now, that could cause, of course, what we call a stroke. But this didn't happen with Jesus. What happened was the little capillary blood vessels around the sweat glands ruptured, and blood was leaked out, if you like, into the sweat. And the blood and sweat was poured out onto his skin. And why would that be? Because Jesus was God incarnate. He was all man, yet he was all God too. We're not going to have a sermon on that, but he was all God, he was all man. He was completely man, he was completely God. But the humanity side of Jesus knew, he knew, because he was all God, he knew what he was going to be going through. He knew the pain, the torture, and the torment. not even just the indignity of it, but the physical pain that his body was going to have to suffer. And the stress levels went straight through the roof. Straight through the roof. And what Jesus suffered was way more than I believe any human being as such could actually take, quite honestly. I really believe that. He sweated blood. He was taken away by the Jews, and he was beaten up by the Jews. He was then taken by the Romans, and he would have been tied to a whipping post of some sort. We believe this to be the way. And he was flailed. He wasn't just beaten with a little stick. He was beaten with something like a cat of nine tails, which is a rod with long metal, long leather thongs on it, and little hooks at the end. And this flail would have been ripped past his body, and it would have cut him deeply. It would have ripped out flesh, ripped out skin. His face was beyond recognition, so it wasn't just from his neck down, it was everywhere. He was beaten something stupid, and he was whipped. He paid an awesome, phenomenal price. And I'm going to say this to you, and this is not theology, it's an opinion, and you can either receive it or not, I don't mind. But my feeling is, I ask God to take me behind the cross to show me the depth of what Christ paid for. I asked him to show me, reveal to me, because I want to share this with your kingdom. I want to share this with church. I want to share this with believers and unbelievers alike. Show me the price that Christ paid. Impress it upon me in whatever way you want to do it. And I will say this to you. I just felt this. That every drop of blood, every little bit of skin, every bit of flesh, every part of his body that was ripped apart carries the name of a disease on it. Carries the name of a disease. Now, it's not there in Scripture. I'm not trying to create new theology. Please don't think that at all. I won't do that. But I just felt inside me that there was something in this, because he was beaten and whipped so much that everything he went through wasn't just covering the diseases of that day, because there are now far more diseases around today than there were then. Probably because we live longer, but again, we could look into that, but not tonight. But what Christ paid for has covered man until the end of this age. And I think that's amazing. That's amazing. And it hurts my heart, and I actually could almost burst into tears when I hear people talking about healing is not for today. I have to be very gracious, because I can really get, I have a mixed feeling of not so much anger, but just upset and brokenness when I hear that. The shedding of blood, the sweating of blood is called hematidrosis. Hematidrosis. It's powerful. He paid an incredible price. And I believe it. I believe it passionately. And I travel thousands of miles to release his love and his life and his power, and I see lives changed and transformed. And I invite you to do likewise. Oh, but I can't. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, but I don't have the faith. You got the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed? You've got enough. You need a bucket load of faith? No. You just need faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. Do you know why the Scriptures describe it as that level of faith? Well, it's all about Jesus, not about you. Not about me. I walk with a powerful anointing, and I give God the glory for that. I give him the glory, not about me. I've said yes to him, and he's poured his life out into my life. And I give that away. But I still have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. Nothing more than that. That's all I need. And that actually is a pictorial image of just how little faith we really need to do it. So don't tell me you can't do it. Oh, but I don't have faith. Oh, yes, you do. You give your life to Jesus, and you're given a measure of faith. The Scriptures tell us that. You come to Jesus, you are anointed. The Scriptures tell us that. You've got it all. You've got all what it takes. Put your hand up if you don't think you've got what it takes. Don't you dare put your hand up. You've got it, guys. I'm being humorous with you. I love you and I bless you. You've got it. You've got it. You've got it. You've got all it takes to release the healing love of Yeshua, because it's not about me. When I lay hands on somebody, Or I've even spoken to people in congregations. I've spoken to people and I've called out words of knowledge and I've pointed to people and I've said, you be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. There was a woman, it happened in Bethel in a meeting. And I said to her, this woman, you know, some sort of 20, 30 meters away, but maybe about 20 meters away. I said, you've got a back problem. She said, yes. And I said, will you stand up? And she stood up and I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. It was as simple as that, as easy as that. But it's not about Malcolm, it's about Jesus. It's what he's going to do, not what I'm going to do. It's about what he's going to do. She comes to me. I was on the prayer line. I'm part of the prayer ministry team, as you know, in Bethel. And she comes to me one Sunday morning after Sunday service. She says, you know, you prayed for me 2 weeks ago. No. without sounding flippant, I do pray with loads and loads of people. And so I didn't remember her particularly. I mean, you do remember somebody if they sort of grow a leg. You know, you wouldn't forget that in a hurry, would you? You know, oh, yeah, you grew the leg, didn't you? Yeah, it's okay. But I didn't remember that. She said, she told me the story. She said, I went to my doctor. She said, I actually had a twisted back. She had scoliosis. I had a twisted back. Gone to the doctor's, and he's x-rayed it. My back's as straight as a die now, absolutely spot on straight. The pain has gone, she says. It's absolutely brilliant. I said, thank you for sharing that. That thrills my heart. Was it anything about Malcolm working up a foam, working up faith, you know, trying a bit harder, just pressing in a little bit more? No. I just stood there in from a place of peace and just said, in the name of Jesus, just be healed. That's what he's got for you. Every one of you. Every one of you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wow. I want to share with you just a little something quickly, and then we'll go get into some ministry time. It was many years ago. I was a leader in the London School of Prophets quite a few years ago, down in Croydon, and we ran a prophetic ministry school, and I was one of a team of four who were overseeing this ministry, which was very powerful. And we were having a time of fellowship together. And I was sitting in a chair, and I just had my hands just like this. I remember this so well, this was powerful. And I suddenly felt a pain in the center of my hand, in the palm of my hand, a sharp pain in each of my palms. What's going on? I then felt shooting pains up my arm and across my shoulders. And I knew what God was doing. You could probably imagine that even now. It maybe doesn't need to explain to you. It was painful, but not, you know, excruciatingly painful. By the way, the word excruciating comes from crucify, by the way. And if you knew that, we talk about something being excruciatingly painful. That's extremely painful. Excruciating comes from crucify, because crucifixion apparently is the most painful death. Haven't done a deep study on it, don't think I want to. But, there we go. The pain in my hands and shooting out my arms was pretty much. I then got pain in my feet. I was shooting up my legs. And I was sitting on this chair and I stood up. I could barely stand with the pain in my legs. And I said, God, what are you doing? He said, he said to me this, I am giving you a very, 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 very small taste of what Christ went through. I thought, oh, you know, it was big. Because he said, you will never forget it. And it will shape the ministry that you're going to walk in. Because you're going to understand more of what Christ paid at Calvary. You will never ever experience the fullness of the price that he paid. Your body couldn't take it, God said. And I know that. Our bodies couldn't take what Christ took. Yes, he was all man, but he was also all God. And I remember from that day onwards, I thought, God, you're going to use this in some way. And he is, he does. Because I carry an incredible passion for the cross and for what Christ paid for. And when I'm speaking, I do focus on it. I do focus on what Christ, the price he paid, as I have a little bit tonight. I've been brief tonight. But I say, God, thank you for what you've taken me through. Thank you for that mild cross experience, because it sharpened me. It has sharpened me more than any words could have done. I have experienced a little something, a teensy bit. And it's only a teensy bit. But I'll never forget it as long as I live. I say thank you, Jesus, because it shapes the way I think. It shapes the way I work. It shapes my belief system. It shapes the very fabric of my life. I say, Jesus, thank you. Bless you. Hallelujah. Are you excited about what God's doing? Well, almost all of you. Those of you who didn't say yes, just remain behind and speak to Gordon. Bless you. Okay. What I would like to do now is to minister to you. I haven't brought, sort of all that I could have done. I mean, it's okay though. I just brought what I felt was in my heart, what Holy Spirit has given me to share, which is exciting. That's good, and that in itself is complete. And what I want to do tonight, we're going to do two things.